County of Iyoko, British Columbia, and he's going to tell us about the oil workers, local number 4 in Vancouver. And you just go ahead, Mr. Turbid.
Well, what's this?
How did you?
Local,
this is local number 4.
The Reds Mill refinery union?
What was the first union?
Well, we're the only ones in Canada. Mm-hmm.
That's right, but there were 3 in California, I think.
Oh, well, we weren't affiliated with
them. You were not affiliated?
We were affiliated with the Trades and Labor Council in Vancouver, and we had to send delegates there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just said so long ago, 40 years ago, and I forgotten a lot of the details,
Yeah.
But I know it was March 1918 that we started talking about organizing. And we were out for 2 weeks.
Well, how did you come about doing this? I mean,
You see, we had no the superintendent here. He couldn't say yes or no. He couldn't give us a raise without getting.
Go ahead
and draw on us, you know. But we had no way. We had no way of getting in touch with them. Only through him. We didn't know what he was really negotiating. But when the refinery shut down, then he had to do something. So then they started to deck it with the union through him. And in fact, we got better terms from them than what we asked for. They gave more than we really asked for.
What, your union?
The Imperial Oil.
Did they recognize your union?
Yeah.
They recognized
your union? Oh, yes.
Yeah. How did you get? You were dissatisfied, I guess.
We were dissatisfied then because we hadn't had a raise and all during the war.
Yeah.
And the shipyard workers and all these other fellows were getting more money, and we figured that, well, we were entitled to cost of living was way out of pounds then, Mr. Sullivan, he was a dedicated Imperial Oil man, and he.
What was his name?
Sullivan.
Sullivan. I see.
And he figured that we should, shouldn't really ask them. He figured that they were good enough to give it to us when we were entitled to it.
Now, who was Cinnamon? Was he your foreman or
superintendent?
Superintendent.
Yeah.
But how did you, what did you do? How did you go about forming a union?
Well, I told you that the Trade and Labor Council sent up 2 men from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Victor Medley was one of them.
Yeah, but you'd already gone on strike then, hadn't you?
Well, it wasn't really, we'd quit.
Yeah, but, I mean, had you, did
we
this happen, or did you
we're
meet before?
No, there was no talk about union or anything else until after we'd left the job.
So after you just got up and left?
Yeah. And he came out and he organized them, and, was president and vice president and secretary and all that stuff.
Where did you organize?
We didn't have no town site here then.
Oh, yeah.
We had an old scow house down on the waterfront that used to hold the dances and the parties in. Well, that's how we used for meeting and all.
Mm. And you, somebody phoned them up. Do you remember who was?
I took
the initiative?
Billy Baird.
How do you spell that?
B-A-I-R-D.
Yeah.
Billy Baird and, Ernie Singleton and Pat Denny, they were the ones that had, that was pointed themselves.
Yeah.
As organizers. But we went along fine without any trouble and back to work, and we got about 100%.
Now, well, before you went back to work, you went to the place and Minchley was there, I guess, was he?
Yeah.
And what, was this all out in the open and everything? The company know about it?
Oh yes, the superintendent, he came down there.
He came down?
Yeah. Talked to us, and...
What did he say?
Well, he said he didn't think it was fair, that we should have should have given them notice.
Oh, yeah.
Before we closed the plant down. And
but you went ahead anyway.
We went ahead. We couldn't help it then.
And do you remember who the officers were?
Well, I said, I guess those three men that I mentioned.
Who was the president? You know?
Singleton.
And the secretary?
The secretary was a fellow named Cunningham.
He's
dead now.
I see. And you formed a union, and did you negotiate then with the company?
Yeah.
And Singleton and the officers?
Yeah.
Negotiated with the... Were you still out then on strike?
Yeah.
Now, what about the other trades? You said a while ago that all the other trades came up with you, is that
right? Yeah.
And
there was nobody left on the plant, only the shift men, process men. They stayed on as long as for a week after we went out, you know, and then they decided they better get in on it too.
So everybody left?
So everybody.
And how long did this last? How long were you on
course? 2 weeks.
Two weeks. And during those 2 weeks you formed the union and you negotiated?
Yeah.
And then what?
And went back to work.
Because did you get what you wanted?
We got more than we asked for.
What you asked for and what did you
well,
get?
Well, I just forget the figures now. For one instance, the shift men work 7 days a week. Two shifts a day. The day shift worked 10 hours and the night shift worked 14.
Mm-hmm.
When the change shifts, they had to work 22 hours for to get a day off and change the shift. When they came back, the 48-hour week and about 100% boost in wages.
100% boost in wages. Now, was this after the war?
No, this was in 18.
In 18?
Yeah, March of 18,
the war ended
in
that's probably why, don't you think? What do you think? That's the reason why you got it?
No, I don't think so. I think what they had in mind, the way I thought about it since, that they were waiting for the Standard Oil to put their plan into effect. And then, pretty well would take it from there, you see. But we jumped the gun on them, I guess. And they were ready. But when they got ready in 1919, then they put this up to boys. They put this proposition there, this employees benefit plan.
Is that what they called it?
Yeah. And there was nobody in the right senses would have turned it down.
Mm.
See, of course, one stipulation was they had to go with the company's union. See, the company elected or selected 10 foremen, and the employees elected 10 representatives from each department.
Yeah.
And the superintendent was the chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was kind of superintendent had the side and vote. And they come along. But we got along good. And you see what they did? They put in this pension plan, the first of its kind in Canada. Non-contributory.
Non-contributory pension.
Yeah. They had a health and accident insurance.
Workman's compensation.
No, there was no compensation then.
No.
They paid after 3 days, I guess it was, paid you full wages.
Mm-hmm.
Until you, of course, they revised that all again in 1932.
Well, let's just stay here for a moment. Did you have seniority rights under this plan?
More or less. It wasn't nailed down to strict seniority.
But they did.
It was more, you know, the company couldn't pick their own man which they didn't do that though. They stayed with a majority ruling pretty strict.
And
What happened then?
Did your union disband?
The union fell apart.
Fell apart, why?
Because of this offer that the company gave them, it was so enticing. You know, you couldn't blame them.
Did you get any wage increase in that too? Well, no wage increase.
Yes.
Wage increase.
We got another increase without asking for it.
I see. And
in 1919.
What was the reaction of the union officers?
Well, they didn't fight very hard against it.
They didn't.
No. See, you could, on this plan, the company maxed you dollar for dollar,
mm-hmm.
up to 25% of your wages, to buy stock in the company. And you had your life insurance and accident insurance. That was contributory, you know. But they went 50-50 with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it went along then from that to when were the other workers? In 46.
Yeah, I think it was
46.
And so that the union collapsed.
Yeah.
And what about the international? Before it collapsed now, you reduced paying members, didn't you? I guess.
Yeah. Well, of course, we know what they did do down there, which I don't know. They joined the OBU.
They did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were
hooked up to about
OBU for a while.
From when was that?
Well, that was during the time we were in
1919.
Well, the time, and that was when they had the big trouble in Winnipeg, you know.
During that time, you were in the OBU.
Yeah.
Well, how can you tell me anything about that? I mean, you're a member. You're on the executive?
No, I never held any office because I was more or less I wasn't a foreman, but I was a sub-foreman.
Sub-foreman, yeah.
On an hourly pay base.
Yeah. Well.
But that OBU now, you can look
that
up in your records, because that was bad, you know. They got criticized for that by the company, you know. That was the
company didn't like that.
No, they didn't mind being affiliated with the
oil workers,
with the Trades and Labor Council in Vancouver. But when they were doing this big stuff, you know, that was a big strike, you know, in 1919 in Winnipeg, when they put them in jail, Woodsworth and Irvin and McQueen, all, you know.
Yeah. They thought, what, did they think you were Bolsheviks?
Well, they thought they were too.
Yeah.
They were a little bit out of our line, I guess they say.
Well, yeah. What, do you remember meeting any of the OBU organizers or
no,
anything?
No.
Or did you have a thought, a meeting, or any kind of thing?
I can't remember now.
You can't.
I can't remember just what the procedure was there. But I know that we were affiliated with them, the OBU.
Did you get a card?
Hey, pardon?
Did you get a card?
Oh, yeah.
Cards?
Oh, yeah.
But they, how long did this last?
Well, that, we were hooked up with the OBU when we disbanded.
When you disbanded.
Yeah.
And was there much of an effort made to keep Jim safe from the international, or for the Vancouver Labour
Council? No, Vancouver Trades and Labour Council was kind of falling apart then too. You know what I mean? They weren't very active.
They could do anything about it?
No. They never bothered.
And, what about, do you remember having any contact with the international?
We never belonged to the international.
We never did.
No.
I see. Well, they get you down in their books, you know.
We might have been hooked up with them, you know, but never knew anything about it. But through the Trades and Labor Council.
Yeah. Now, how about going ahead and telling us about what happened in your, were you on the board at all, the joint board of the company union?
Yeah, I was on every year.
From which side were you on?
The company. I was first.
You were the foreman.
I was the delegate from the filling house workers. at first.
Yeah.
But there came a vacancy in there in the foreman job. So I got the foreman job, and from then on I represented the company.
Now, what about how does the thing work out?
Well, it worked out all right. I don't know why I didn't. There never very much trouble, but of course, I mean, when the boys got the idea that they were going to read him to form another union, it just naturally collapsed.
When was this?
That's about 1945 or 46, when they first started this oil workers.
They organized another union.
Yeah.
And the company union collapsed then, eh?
Yeah.
Why do you figure this out? How did this happen?
Well, there was a lot of the boys dissatisfied. There was a new generation coming up.
And, yeah.
And they figured they could do better, I suppose, with their own union. Maybe they did. I don't know why. 10 years and not there.
Do you remember how it could organize at all? Were you in on it?
No, no.
You were still a foreman?
Yeah. So no, I never. And in fact, I wasn't very much interested.
Yeah.
Because I didn't figure it'd ever go through.
I see. It didn't.
It did. No, I used to bet money with some of the fellas at
home. You did.
It wouldn't make it. Dead.
Well, tell me, in this book I read on the oil workers, they say that the company hired a lot of, they weeded out, they discriminated against some union guys. And this is in 1920 or so.
Well,
that they hired veterans and replaced them with the veterans. Is that so?
There was one or two cases, but the union couldn't have bought it because these men were to blame.
How was this?
One stipulation in the contract was that there was no union business transacted on the job.
No union business on
transacted on the job. Well, these fellas broke the rule and they got fired, and there was nothing. It was the union, the company had it.
Who was good fired?
Well, I wouldn't. They wasn't really fired, they were eased out.
Laid out.
Yeah.
And were they the leading members of the union, or were they just...
Well, yes, there was one of them, two of them were pretty well up in the union.
Well, I mean, what about the president and secretary and so on, did they stay in, or...?
The president, yes. There was never anything to do with him, but these other fellows, I don't think they would have been either if they had lived up to their contract.
I see.
It was the fact they were like old, you know, or they were carrying on union business in the company's time.
How was the union security like? Did they have a checkoff, for instance?
In the old union? No.
In the closed shop or open shop?
It was a closed shop.
It was a closed shop, so everybody had to join. And they didn't have much trouble organizing it, eh?
No, because it was done very quietly. There was no disturbance of any kind.
And they organized openly?
Yeah.
The company you all knew all about?
Oh, yeah.
So,
there was company's representatives there at all the meetings. There was no hard feelings, you know. There was no hard feelings. There was no. I think even the superintendent realized that we were entitled to more money with his hands were more or less tied, and he was an Easterner. And he didn't, he was acquainted with the ways of British Columbia. He hadn't been out here long enough.
BC was pretty radical.
Yeah.
Well, still is, I suppose. What about, the OBU, did they organize?
Well, of course, they collapsed too, you know, the OBU.
Yeah, but, I mean, how did they go about organizing? Were they more secret?
Well, I don't know just how that come about now. Whether the boys applied for membership in there, I think that's how it was. I think they applied to
at a union meeting.
Yeah. I suppose they had been asked to join up.
Yeah. But you're not really...
I don't know. It's a damn long while. I've forgotten all that stuff years ago.
Well, is there anything else you want to mention about this?
That was about all the students. It was a very simple, affair. The union was organized and the company recognized it and gave us all we asked for. We had never any trouble. In fact, I was promoted to foreman a couple of years afterward. I know there were any kids coming.
And were you known as a pro-union guy? Or?
No, well, I wasn't a pro-union. I was just one of the boys, that is all. Yeah. You know, there was 300 of us working here then. And it was just a few of the ones that had more or less some experience in union business that run the thing.
Was the plant right here at Iolco?
Yeah.
The time?
Yeah.
That's right here. Another thing, you were mentioned on the phone, you were in the Western Mine Workers?
Oh, well, that was when I first came to the oil company.
That's it. When did you come over?
1909.
And what, did you work in the interior?
I worked in the, down Washington State for a while.
Okay.
Then I got a job in the sawmill for Phoenix.
Yeah.
But before you could wrestle for a job in the mine, you had to belong to the union. Well, the bartenders, the waitresses, and the cooks, and everybody belonged to the union up there then.
Which one was this? Western Miners?
The Western Federation of Miners.
Western Federation of Miners.
Pretty sure that was it. Yeah. I had the card for years, and I couldn't find it now. There was nothing. I was in there sitting there one morning, hauled in a couple of guys that got blowed up in the mine, so I decided. Of course, no man told me he was a miner out of Africa. He told me, he said, stay away from the mine.
So then you went up to BC?
This was in BC, yeah.
This was in BC?
Yeah, down in the States, I was just...
Whereabouts in BC is this?
It's Phoenix. Grandly Consolidated had a big mine at Phoenix.
Do you remember anything about that?
Well, I remember they...
What years were this, for instance?
Mm. Well, they were running strong in 1909.
Yeah.
And they had the big smelter at Grand Forks.
Yeah.
Well, that went on. I went down to Grand Forks from working the sawmill for a while. Down to Grand Forks, and they were in the same union, you see, the smelter workers.
The sawmill was also in the...
No, the sawmill belonged to an independent fellow. He was cutting fire timbers for bridges. They were building up on the railroad. But the Grand Forks smelter, they belonged to the miners' union too. And you had a card before you could go. You see, you went out in the morning at 8:00, rustle the job. You didn't get on then, you went out at 4:00. And if you didn't get on then, you went out at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's 9:00, you know, see, there weren't a man. Well, so.
And this is the union hiring.
No, the timekeeper did the hiring.
But you had to have a union.
I had to be a union man, yeah.
And how did you go about applying?
Yeah. Well, this...
No trouble joining?
Oh, no, I went down into Phoenix with a member, you know.
Yeah.
And joined up and got my car and paid my dues.
Do you remember what they were, your dues?
I think it was $5 to join.
$1 a month. And,
but I never, after I came up to Vancouver in 1910,
So you were only there for a year?
No, less than a year.
Less than a year.
6 months.
Do you remember any of the officers or any, did you have any strikes then?
No, not in my time. And of course, shortly after the oil kind of played out. Shut the smelter down, and then built this plant up at Antioch, up north of Prince Rupert,
mm-hmm.
which is dismantled now, and they moved that plant to across the river from Printon there. Mm. And that's played out now to us three times another war. Now and then, those in that up in the mining towns, you bartenders and waitresses and all that, are not for you, you couldn't hold a job.
Even when they were, were they employed with the company?
No, it was right in the restaurants and saloons around town.
Everybody had a union card.
Yeah.
Well, what if they didn't, they would have told
them? Well, they wouldn't hire them if they didn't belong to
them. Hire them. But nothing really occurred while you were there?
No. I wasn't interested. Cold winter, too. It was winter time. Thinking about getting out to the coast by the weather was warm.
How old were you then?
19
over 20. 20. Well, I guess that's...
There's nothing really happened around here that was noteworthy, you know. It just went along. There was, as far as I was concerned, there was no intimidation or nothing against anybody. Outside of those fellows that you mentioned, it was... talking shop on the, you know, trying to organize, trying to talk. Now, and I said, that's another thing, I don't think that there was, it was a closed shop.
Well, the oil works.
Yeah. But, I don't think it's compulsory, but everybody recognized that they had to. See, they brought in, when they changed over, from two shifts to three, that took in all the process men, the pump men. They had to bring a lot of outside men. And of course, they promoted a lot of the fellas from the laboring gang, promoted them up into the shift jobs.
Do you remember what the Jews were in the oil workers? What is that? What you called them, by the way? What did you call them?
The Refinery Workers Union. The
Refinery Workers Union.
It was $1 a month, I guess.
Right.
$1 a month, I think.
Dollar.
Or dollar, yeah. That was where it was.
Well, anything, you got anything else?
No, I don't think of anything else. No, I could go on talking, tell you about, things, but not stuff that you're interested in. Nothing to do with this, you know, but...
Nothing in the union?
No, not connected to you, because it went along, as I tell you, from 1920 to 1945 with the company union, and it was a pretty peaceful meeting, so no. Of course, one thing Imperial Isle did do, they always paid more wages than was paid to the same, in the same category around the district, around Vancouver. You know, like tradesmen and laborers.
And there was no attempt to organize a union?
Not in the meantime.
Until 46?
Not in the meantime, no.
I see. Well, that's the end. I